Thanks for joining us here at the Bridge Church VA Online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, download our app in your iPhone or Android app store, or visit us online at www.thebridgechurchva.com. We hope this week's message speaks to you in a new way, and hope to see you soon.
Be a part of that baptism experience as well. So with that being said, today I'm really excited because we're starting a brand new series that I've really been praying over for the past few weeks and really kind of prepared a few months ago. But I'm really excited to start this series because, you know, as the summer gets ready to end, how many of you guys are sad about that? For those of us who are parents, you're excited because that means kids go back to school. And so the summer is ending. But oftentimes, you know, as the summer kind of progresses and stuff like that, we can kind of get, you know, into different types of routines and things like that. And we can sometimes kind of fall off, you know, when it comes to some of the things that we're committed to. Like you were committed to working out 5 times a week, but then the summer hit and then ice cream hit and then, you know, vacations hit. And so you haven't been to the gym in like 8 months because of the summer or whatever the case may be. And so I wanted to do a series that will really help us to align us as we go into the fall, as we close out our summer, but more importantly, as we go into what we call here at our church, 21 days of prayer. And 21 days of prayer is a time where we as a church, we come together for 21 straight days and we're seeking God intentionally. It's really us aligning ourselves with God to go deeper in our relationship with God. And we do it twice a year, in January, but we also do it in August. And so in August, we actually don't do, in January, we actually do 21 days of prayer, but we also during that time have a time of fasting where we're kind of abstaining from certain things so that way we can connect with God in a greater way. And we typically don't do that in August, but this year I just kind of felt God leading us to do something different where the last week of 21 days, this August, we're just going to have a week of fasting as we go into the fall season. And I can't think of a better way to end our summer than by seeking the presence of God. And so the series that we're starting today really aligns itself with what we're getting ready to do as we go into 21 days of prayer and the last week of fasting. And so I'm calling this series, week one of the series, I'm calling this series The Rhythm. Somebody say The Rhythm. The Rhythm. And I hope you got some rhythm because we're going to be dancing. I'm just joking. We're not going to be doing that. Some of y'all were like, oh my gosh, we came to the wrong church. They want us dancing. No, I'm kidding. But I'm excited about it because this series is really all about helping us to get on beat with God where we may have gotten off beats, to get in rhythm with God. Because I don't know if you're like me, there comes times in life where we can find ourselves in a good rhythm with God and a good rhythm in life, but sometimes life can throw curveballs our way that can essentially throw us off beat and throw us off rhythm. Has anybody ever been there, or am I by myself? Thank you guys for your honesty. Those of you guys didn't raise your hand, you're lying. Lying, you need Jesus. I'm just joking. But I wanted to do this series because I really kind of just got a sense that God was just really leading us to realign ourselves with him as we go into the fall and as we're preparing to do a lot of incredible things this fall and reaching people who don't know Jesus and reaching out to our college students and our college campuses in this area, reaching out to many of the different amazing military families in our community. And even as we mentioned last week, as we prepare to go to 2 services because God's been growing things around here, I wanted to make sure that we posture ourselves and we align ourselves to be able to receive what God wants to do, but more importantly, so that way we can be in posture and be in position to really be used by God the way he wants to use us. Like, I don't want us to kind of just get into the rut of just like coming to church service and, you know, and doing things in life or whatever, but I really want us to have a deeper, more intimate relationship with God. I don't just want us to have kind of a check on the box relationship with God where it's very contractual. And some of us may have come from environments where your relationship with God was very contractual. It was based upon what you do. It was based upon you getting it right all the time. And so there wasn't any type of vitality. There wasn't any type of intimacy with God. And I want you to know that God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, wants a relationship with you. That's what it's about. If you didn't know that today, I want you to know that. I want you to know that God wants a relationship with you. So this series is all about us getting on beat with God. And I got a scripture that I want to share just to kind of kick off this series to really kind of get us on the same page as it relates to this series. It comes out of Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, and we actually got it on the screen. And it says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. When I think of that word keep in step or that phrase keep in step, my mind immediately goes to stay on beat with God. Stay in rhythm with God. Somebody say stay in rhythm. Stay in stay in rhythm with God. And why? Because we can oftentimes find ourselves having our lives falling apart. And what I've come to realize is more often than not, the reason why our lives fall apart is because we have gotten off beat with God. We're not in rhythm with God. Our rhythm with God is off. I'll say it like this, that we typically struggle to stay on beat with God because we're moving to a different beat. We're moving to a different beat. So in other words, God is moving in one way. He's got this rhythm, but we're believing the lies of culture and the lies of the enemy, and so we're dancing to a different beat. We're not dancing to the beat of God, and we're not dancing to the rhythm of God. We're dancing to the beat of culture, to the lies of the enemy, to the lies of what you hear around you, to what culture says. And so as a consequence, now we've gotten off rhythm with God. But today I want to help us get back into rhythm. And I want you to know that no matter how far off beat you feel with God, no matter how bad your rhythm is, dancing or metaphorically with God, the good news is this, that you can get back on beat with Him. And the way you can get back on beat with Him, He offers us this. He offers us grace, His amazing gift, His amazing second chance, if you will. He offers us grace to be able to get back on beat. He says something like this. He would say, like, I know you've gotten off beat and you've gotten distracted by the lies of the enemy. I know you're taking your beat and your cues from culture. I know that, but I want you to know that I'm for you and I'm not against you, that I love you. And no matter how much you've been dancing to the beat of this world and to the beat of culture, I want you to know today that you can get back on beat with me. That no matter how far you've strayed, you can still come back home. That no matter what you've done in your past, you can still come back home. And as we go into 21 days of prayer with this series, here's what I'm asking us all to do. I'm really asking us, I want us to lean in into this series. Like, I want us to take off the filters. I want us to take off the, you know, all the distractions. And I really want us to not just hear the word, but I really want us to put into action the words that God is giving to us over the course of the next few weeks as we go throughout 21 days of prayer and as we get ready to end our summer and go into the fall. I really want us to lean into this. I don't want us just to approach this series just as another message series. I don't want us just to approach the sermons on Sunday just as, oh, this is another message. But I want us not just to be hearers of the word. I want us to be doers of it. Because you're not blessed by hearing it, you're blessed by putting it into action. Faith without works is dead. So it means nothing for me just to preach this word to you, but you never apply it to your life. There is a power that God wants you to experience in your life, but it will only happen as a result of you putting into action what He is calling you to. And so with that being said, I'm excited because today, for part one of this series, not only are we talking about the rhythm, but today I want to talk about a topic that I know many of us probably would not like me for. And that is this. I want to talk about the rhythm of rest. See? I saw it already. The rhythm of rest. Somebody say rest. And many of us in here, when we think about the word rest, we think about it sometimes as a seasonal thing. We think about it sometimes as, oh, okay, I'll rest in the summertime, or I'll rest on my vacation, or I'll rest over here, and I'll rest over here. And I think a lot of times we don't really have a solid, fundamental biblical understanding of what rest is. But let me help us understand something. The biblical word rest, as you see it in the Bible, simply means to cease from work. It means to stop. Now, I know that can be difficult for us because it can be complicated at times. And I know many of us in here, like, you're like, man, Pastor, I need this message because right now I feel like I need some rest. Just be honest. How many of you guys feel like, yeah, I just need rest right now? Some of us, both hands in the air, legs in the air, everything. Like, I just need more rest. I need rest because I got all this stuff to deal with. I got stuff that's going on at my job. I got to keep up with all the kids. I got all this stuff on my schedule and work and all this type of stuff. There's so much stuff that's going on in my life. And when I think about this word rest, I don't even know how I can get it. Now, let me help you understand something. As your pastor, I get it. I understand it, man. I understand how you can feel. And I understand that when things are getting crazy in life that you can just feel depleted and feel like you have no more energy, but you know you need to rest, but there's so much that's going on in your life that it seems that it prevents you from rest. But I want to share a few things about rest that maybe you know and maybe you don't know. I think rest is one of those things that we know we need and even sometimes long for, but unfortunately we don't experience. Like, we know we need it. We know we need to rest, but we don't experience it. There was a story that I came across a while back, and there was a story that happened in October of last year about a woman who was in Japan, a Japanese woman, and the story actually said that she died due to overwork. Overworking herself, not getting rest. As a matter of fact, the specifics of it says that according to a news story published by news company NHK, this lady by the name of Miwa Sato had worked, check this out, 159 hours of overtime in the month before her death. Now, let me put this in context. That's the equivalent of working 2 months in one, if you do the math. 2 months in one. Now, some of us like, Pastor, she was getting paid. She was. But a month later, it came at a cost. It came at a cost. Matter of fact, in Japanese culture, there's such a big problem with working excessive hours that they actually have a word for death by overwork called karoshi, K-A-R-O-S-H-I. Go look it up. Google it right now if you don't believe me. And it's literally the Japanese word for overworking, which leads to death. I was like, man, that's crazy. That is so bad that we got words to describe us overworking ourselves that leads to death. As a matter of fact, CNN also put out a case study that showed that those who work, catch this, 11-hour days are 250% more likely to become depressed than those who limit their work to 8-hour days. 250% more depressed. That's how much more likely they are to fall into depression because of working 11-hour days versus having more of a 8-hour day schedule. And I know what many of us in here are thinking. Pastor, I hear all these studies, and that shocks me, and that scares me. But you're asking this, but how do I find rest in the midst of it? Because I know I've worked so many hours of overtime, and I know that I've gone weeks upon weeks without even having a day off or whatever the case may be. Like how do I find rest? How do I find rest when I feel like I need to work more because I need the money? How do I find rest when there's so much to do for the kids and laundry's piling up? Jeez. Me and my wife were talking recently about this. It's like, golly, it's like we wash clothes every, not weekday. Twice a day. God, help us, man. We joke about it. We talk about it. It's like, man, I feel like I run this dishwasher like once every hour. These kids just eat and make dirty clothes. How do we find rest when it seems that there's so much stuff piling up on us in life? Like, how do we find rest when my calendar just continues to fill up with events? How do I find rest when there's so much on my mind? Even when I try to go to sleep, I can't sleep because my mind is still running and ripping and racing about the things that are going on in my life. How do I find rest? Has anybody ever been there before? Where you even tried to rest, but you couldn't rest because there was so much going on. How do we find rest in a culture that prides itself on being busy and filling up every day with something? Some of us are saying, Pastor, I just can't afford to rest. Let me help you understand something. You can't afford not to rest. I knew actually somebody who died a few years ago, and she was actually in perfect health. The doctors diagnosed her being in perfect health. The reason why they diagnosed her, or the diagnosis that they gave for her passing away, was not because of some health-related issue. It was because she didn't get enough sleep. Now, I know some of us were really deep. Well, it was just time for her to go. First of all, chill. There was so much stress on her body as a result of her not getting enough sleep that it caused her body to shut down. And I'm afraid that some of us may kind of be on that track right now, but I believe that God is so gracious and so loving that he brought you here today to help you get back in rhythm, to help you get back on beat. Because if you follow the beat and the rhythm of culture, let me help you understand something, you will never find rest. Because culture is always saying, push it to the max, do more, work more so you can get more money, so you can get that dream house, so you can get that dream car. Get more, get more, get more, but it comes at a cost. It comes at a cost. It comes at the cost of your family. It comes at the cost of your health. It comes at the cost of your relationship with God. It comes at the cost of your purity. It comes at the cost of so many things. That's what culture says. That's the beat of culture. Just keep going. Just keep doing. They've taken the mantra of Dory, just keep swimming to a whole nother level. But I want us to understand something. If we look to God, there is a better way. If we look to Him, we'll know that not only does God want us to experience rest, He wants you to rest. Matter of fact, this is probably the best news that you will hear today. God wants you to rest. And I feel like I need to tell some of us that because you need to know that you have permission to do so. Because some of us feel guilty about resting. I just can't take a day off because if I take a day off, everything's going to fall apart. We'll get into more of that in a moment. But I just can't rest because if I rest and all this stuff is going to continue to pile up and continue to pile up and continue to pile up. God says, I want you to rest. I've given you permission to rest. How do we know this to be true? I want to look at Matthew chapter 11, verse, I think it's 28. And we got it up here on the screen. Here's what Jesus says to some of his disciples, some of his early followers, but also some of the people who were listening around him. Watch what he says. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. If you did not think that God wanted you to rest, you are totally off, because Jesus says, not only do I want you to rest, I want to give it to you. I don't know about you guys, that is good news. It is good news to know that Jesus cares so much about me, even when I'm tired, even when I'm weary, even when I feel like I'm exhausted, that Jesus has so much love for me that he says, come to me and I will give you rest. Here, I want to talk about how our rest is meant. Number one, if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Our notes are also in our church app, so you can download it and follow along as well. I want you to know, number one, that our rest is meant to be rooted in a person. Rest is rooted in a person, and that person is Jesus. Let me say it again, just in case you didn't get it. Rest is rooted in a person, and that person is Jesus. And he says it right here. He says, come to me, all who are weary, all who are burdened, all who are tired. Some of us are here, man, you came in here exhausted. You came in here tired. You came in here tired because you're trying to perform. You're trying to perform so that way people love you. You're trying to perform so that way people accept you. You're trying to perform so that way you can get this accolade, so that way you can get that accolade. And Jesus is saying, if you come to me, I will give you the rest that you really long for, the rest that you need. Notice the first part of what he says. He says, come to me. Here's a question I want to ask us. Where, who, or what are you turning to satisfy your restless soul? Where are you turning to for rest? Let me kind of push it a little bit further. The enemy loves to get you and I exhausted. Because when he can get you and I exhausted, or when you get exhausted, his main goal is, when you're tired, is to get you to turn to every other place except Jesus. That's how we end up making poor decisions. That's how we end up veering off of the will of God and away from the word of God. Not because we're tired, but because of what we turn to when we're tired. Matter of fact, I believe that if you would look back over the aspect of your life, the timeline of your life, probably some of the greatest decisions that you made, not for the best, but for the worst, happened when you were tired. I'm not talking about just sleep deprived. I'm talking about when there was a restlessness in your soul. When you turn to this relationship, or you turn to this habit, or you turn to that addiction, or whatever the case may be, and because you didn't turn to Jesus, and because you turned to other things, it led to a downward spiral of destruction. But Jesus says, hey, I know you're tired, and here's the reality. Everybody gets tired. But he says, when you're tired, I got good news. Turn to me, and I'll give you rest. Come to me, and I'll give you rest. Why? Because it's at the core of what Jesus is saying. He's saying that the only one who can truly give us rest in the midst of all the things that are happening in our life is Jesus. Nothing else. Not a habit, not an addiction, not a vacation, all those things. Like, all those things are good, but they're not meant to give us rest the way Jesus did. Our rest is to be rooted in what Jesus has done for us, not what we do. What do I mean by that? It's rooted in Jesus' perfect life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, for our sinfulness on the cross, so that way we could be in a relationship with God. Our rest is rooted in the finished work of Jesus. Why is this so important? Some of us are looking like, I don't understand this. The reason why this is so important is because Jesus worked for you to be approved because you could not be approved on your own. He did the work so you could be accepted by God by believing in what he's done. Because as long as you and I are far from God, we will always try to perform our way into a perfect relationship with him. But because we can't, he says, I know how tired you are. I know how weak you are. So instead of you doing it yourself, I'll do it for you. And I'll give you rest. Jesus says, come to me, I'll give you rest. Why is this good news? Because this means that if Jesus worked for me to be accepted by God, why do I feel the need to have to constantly work to be accepted by people?
Yeah. Amen.
You don't even have to work to be accepted by God because Jesus did that for you. That's why the Bible says any person who's in Christ is a new creature. The old is past, the new has come. It talks about how all of our sins have been laid on the back of Jesus, how through Jesus we are now a new creation. We have now become the very righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Here's what that plainly says. Why are you trying to work for something that God wants to give you for free? He says, come to me. I'll give you the rest. And what happens is when you finally receive what Jesus has done for you through his life, death, burial, and resurrection, you will see that you no longer feel the pressure to have to perform to be accepted by people in society. So in other words, I'll say it like this. I don't care what you think about me because I've been approved by God. Doesn't mean I don't care about you, but I no longer attribute my identity and my worth to your opinion of me. Because I'm rooted in Jesus. Does this make sense? It's rooted not in my work, it's rooted in his. That's what Jesus was getting at when he was talking about come to me all who labor, because the Pharisees, the religious leaders and teachers of that time were constantly placing all these burdens on people, saying that if you want to be accepted by God, you got to do this, that if you want to be loved by God, you got to do this. And Jesus was like, hold on, let's press pause on this. The only thing I want you to do is just come to me. That's it. That's easy money. Me and Josiah, we say that when we play basketball, somebody makes a shot, easy money. Easy money, but for some of us, it's too good to be true because we're so programmed in our culture to have to work for everything. And so we even bring that to how we view God. I got to work for your love. I got to work for your mercy. I got to work for your grace. I got to work for your acceptance. I got to work for your righteousness. I got to work for your provision. I got to work for your care. I got to work for this relationship. I got to work for this relationship. And God is like, just come to me and believe in me. That's it. Believe in what I've done for you through my son, Jesus, on the cross and through his resurrection. That's it. When you receive that, you're accepted by me. And then you get rest in your soul. It revives you. It restores you. This is why Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And the life. And some of us, man, your life has been terrible because you've been so offbeat with God, because you've been trying to do things your way. And Jesus is saying, would you just come to me this morning? Would you just trust in me this morning? Would you just let me give you rest? That's what it's all about. I like this quote from Pastor J.D. Greer. He says this. He says that those most mature in Jesus are not those working the hardest for him, but those resting the best in him. I love that. That my maturity in Christ does not come as a result of how much I do for him. My maturity in Christ has everything to do with me being rooted in what he did for me. That's what it's about. It's, like I said last week, it's an upward, inward, outward thing, not the reverse. It's about me being in alignment with God. It's about me being in rhythm with God. How is your rhythm? Are you on beat? Are you following Jesus? I don't know if some of you guys have been like us, man. There's been plenty of times where we said we were going to go on a family vacation thinking that we were going to get rest only to figure out and find out we did not. So I don't even, in my mind, I don't even call it a family vacation anymore. I just call it a family getaway. I already know I'm not going to get rest. If we want rest, we got to get away. Me and Ariel with no kids so we can sleep till 8. Some of y'all are like, oh my gosh. These jokers, they're ruthless, man. They come in the door at 5:30 in the morning. Wide awake. Like, Jesus ain't even awake right now. I'm just joking. Parents, y'all know what I'm talking about, man. Grandparents, you've been there too. Struggle is real. But I want you to know that even in the midst of all the things that you have going on, Jesus says, I can give you rest, because here's the reason why this is important. Rest is not found in a place. It's found in a person. It's not found in a place. You can go to a whole nother island and still not get rest. You can run to the other side of the world and still not get rest. You can go to Busch Gardens and still not get rest. You sure enough ain't gonna get rest physically. But because there's so much going on in your heart, you can't even relax. You can't even unwind because you're thinking about the bills that got to get paid. You're thinking about how you didn't even have money to buy these tickets to go to Busch Gardens. You don't have any rest. But Jesus says, I want you to know that rest isn't found in going to a place. It's found in going to a person. It's found in coming to him. That rest is found and rooted in Jesus. And many of us in here, you've been trying to figure out, man, why have I not gotten any rest in my life? Why is there no rest in my soul? I would ask you, have you turned to Jesus? Or are you trying to manufacture rest on your own? Because as long as you continue to try to manufacture rest on your own, you will always be restless. But when you come to Jesus, he says later on in that same chapter, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. That's how I can give you rest. Now, some of us who don't have any idea of that agricultural society that Jesus and them lived in the first century Greco-Roman context, the thing you got to understand is when he was talking about being yoked together, he was giving this illustration of two animals being tied together by this big device that would be on the back of their necks called a yoke. And what Jesus was illustrating here is that when you get yoked up on me and get yoked up with me, what you realize is that I will come alongside of you when you're going through the battles of life. And I will do the heavy lifting, not you. I thought that would excite somebody in here. For those of us in here who are carrying all these burdens, who are carrying all these struggles, who are carrying all these issues, you feel like you're carrying all the weight in the world on your own shoulders. Jesus says, why don't you get yoked up with me and I will carry the heavy load? Isn't that good news? That you don't got to carry the weight by yourself. But if you come to Jesus, he will carry it for you. This is why the Bible says in 1 Peter, cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. He will carry the weight. He will come alongside of you, and he will work alongside of you. He will give you rest. Even when you go to work, you will still feel rested. Even while you're folding up laundry that seems to be endless like eternity, he will still give you rest. Even when the dishes are piling up, he will still give you rest. Even when the job is asking this of you and asking that of you, you still feel the sense of rest. Why? Because it has nothing to do with what's happening on the outside. It has everything to do with what Jesus has done on the inside of me. Because I go to him for rest. Rest is meant to be rooted in a person. But it doesn't just stop there. I gave us the principle. I gave us the foundation. Now I want to give us some practical. How do we apply this to our lives? I want you to also know that our rest is not just rooted in a person, but it is meant to be regularly practiced. In the words of the great philosopher, Allen Iverson. We're talking about practice, man. Practice. Rest is something that's meant to be practiced, not just something that's meant to be known. It's meant to be practiced. It's meant to be applied to your life. Matter of fact, the God, the creator of the heaven and our earth, he actually modeled this for us. In Genesis, you see God resting from his work. Once again, that word rest doesn't mean sleep. It means to cease. It means to stop. Look at what Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 through 3 says. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested. He didn't sleep. God doesn't need sleep. He's eternal. The Bible says he neither sleeps nor slumbers. But he rested, which means he ceased. He stopped from all his work. And verse 3 says, then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it, watch what it says, he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Let me help you understand something. If God rested from his work and he does not need the rest, why do you think you should not rest from your work and you do? He is infinite. He is all-powerful. He is inexhaustible, but yet he rested, not because he needed it, but because we did. He did it to give us a pattern of how we should practice rest. Matter of fact, he was so adamant about it that he gave this guy by the name of Moses, one of his early leaders in Scripture, these things called the Ten Commandments, and one of the chief commands that he gave was honoring God with what's called the Sabbath. Here's what Exodus chapter 20 says, verse 9 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You are to labor 6 days and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You must not do any work, you, your son or daughter, your male or female servant, your livestock, or the resident alien who is within your city gates. Verse 11. For the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything in them in 6 days. Doesn't that sound familiar? Then he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and declared it holy. That word Sabbath means rest. It means a day of rest. The Sabbath day was a day of rest that God had established and God gave to Moses to give to the children of Israel, God's people in the Old Testament, because they were coming out of a place of bondage where they were working 7 days a week all day. And God says, I'm instituting a new rhythm of life. I don't know if y'all remember that song that came out back in the 80s. Yeah. Some of you guys know it. Some of you guys don't. Just go Google it. Just go Google the rhythm of life. God says, you guys have been on this very poisonous pattern because you were in bondage in Egypt. And you were enslaved to Pharaoh, but now I've set you free, and I want to give you a better way of life. I don't want you working 7 days a week, because I didn't. I took a day off. You take a day off. And the whole purpose of the Sabbath was to really give people rest. It was to give people a new rhythm. Now, by the time you get to the New Testament, Jesus now, he comes and he now says something like this: I am Lord of the Sabbath, meaning this, that when God gave all these different types of commands, they were all fulfilled in Jesus. So this law was fulfilled by Jesus, but the principle stays the same. And the principle is what God wants us to get. That rest isn't meant to be something that we know. It's meant to be something that we practice. That God wants us to have a regular practice of resting. What does that look like? Here's a few things if you're taking notes. How can I apply this Sabbath principle to my life? Here's what I would say. That word Sabbath means a day of rest. I want to encourage you to do this. You need at least 1 day a week for renewal, rest, and relationships. At least 1 day. If you're blessed by God, you got to. Don't mean if you ain't blessed by God, or if you don't got to, you're not blessed by God. But if you got to, awesome. But you need at least 1 day. That's the principle. Now, many overzealous theologians have said that Christ has fulfilled the Sabbath, so we don't need to practice it anymore because, you know, this, that, and the third. But here's what you got to understand. It was woven into the very fabric of creation. Like when God created everything, he rested. That wasn't just for him just to do because I'm done. Like, I'm going to just go chill now. No. He was laying out a principle for us to apply to our lives. So that way we would have this rhythm of work and rest. And you're not resting because you don't have stuff to do. You're resting because you believe and trust that God will refresh you and sustain you and provide for you, that he is your security. God's intent was never for you to work 7 days a week. Yeah. I remember when I went to China a few years ago, back in, I think it was my junior year, going into my junior year of college at ODU, and I remember we went over there for about 2 weeks, and one of the things that our tour guides talked about was how hard people worked in China, but oftentimes how they worked so hard at the detriment of their own health, where they were working 7 days a week. That was the culture. Everything was open every day of the week. There was no such thing as a day off. Things were not closed. Every day of the week, people were working. And people would work months at a time without having a day off, and sometimes years without taking a day off. And I remember thinking to myself, even back then in college, man, that is not the rhythm of God. That's never what God intended. He never intended that we would just work 7 days in the course of a work week. I talked to so many people who kind of pride themselves, man, I'm a hard worker, man. I'm going to get this money. But at what cost? At what cost? I'm not abiding and I'm not living in the principle that God wants me to have. And here's the thing I want us to understand, that all of us need a rest day, because God's intent was never for you just to work 7 days straight. Some of us have been working 21 days straight, months straight. You have not had a day of rest at all. Let me help you understand something. In the words of great hip-hop artists, you better check yourself before you wreck yourself. Because you remember the story that I shared earlier about the young lady who worked crazy hours of overtime the month before her death, and she died because of overwork. Some of us are heading right down that path right now. But God is saying today, hey, I love you so much. I don't want you to go down that path. I'm giving you permission to rest. Do you want to know why Chick-fil-A is closed on Sundays? It's because they're founded with this principle. They have literally taken this principle from the scripture. Truett Cathley has taken, if you read his book on his whole story, that's what he has talked about. And some of us are mad that they're not open on Sundays. I'll be real, I'm upset. I would love, after preaching hard in here to y'all on Sunday morning, to go straight down to Coliseum Drive, because the one on Mercury, but Coliseum Drive, and go get a milkshake with a number 7 char-grill combo, no pickles, lettuce, tomatoes. I would love that. But when you tell me that you're closed because you want to honor God, okay, I guess I'm cool with it. Let me give us some stats behind Chick-fil-A, because it's easy to kind of think, oh, they take a day off, they're missing a whole lot. Let me help us understand something. They are projected to be the nation's third largest fast food restaurant by 2020. Why is that profound? Because they have less locations, about 2,300 to be exact, or estimate rather, than McDonald's, which has the most locations, about 14,000. They have less locations than McDonald's, but they're not that far behind McDonald's. And they're open only 6 days a week versus McDonald's, which is open 7 days a week, and they close at 10 o'clock. My God, has anybody ever been like, 10:30 would be awesome to have Chick-fil-A? I've been to some Chick-fil-A's, y'all, where they close that thing at 9:55. I'm like, it's not 10. I get real legalistic over there. I'm like, hold on, wait, no. Y'all gonna put them fries in there. Don't close them up yet. It's not 10 o'clock. You're supposed to be a Christian company, yet you're lying. You really close at 9:55. Talking about you close at 10. But notice in the midst of them honoring God, and even the workers who work there, all the workers who work there aren't Christian, and I'm pretty sure that their standard that they've built upon biblical principle has probably led some people to Christ, because it's created conversations. Why do you guys close on Sunday? We do this because we want to honor God. We believe in giving you a day off because that's what God has called us to do. Well, tell me more about him if he cares that much about me. I guarantee you, if we were to ask some managers, I guarantee you that there's been plenty of people who've given their lives to Christ probably because of something like this. And in the midst of them having this standard, in the midst of them saying that we will be closed on Sunday, they have continued to be productive. They have continued to be more lucrative than most fast food chains in the country. Do not think for one second because you have a day of rest that you will not be more productive. That is so far from the truth. Let me help us understand something. When you honor God, he will honor you. And part of the reason why our lives are stuck and out of rhythm is because you have not been honoring God. And it's not about trying to please him so I can get him to love me. It's about, because he loves me, I want to honor him. What would happen if you just said, after every 6 days, I'm going to have a day of rest? What would happen if you told your job, you know what, I can't come work 7 days for you? Some of us would be like, I'm going to get fired. And I get that. You don't think God knew about that issue before you got into that job situation? You don't think that if you go talk to God and say, God, I know you want me to rest and I know you want me to have a day of rest, but my job over here is tripping. They want me to work 7 days a week. I need you to make a way because I want to honor you. You don't think that God will open up a door? Yeah. See, part of the reason why we're still in situations that we're in is not because God won't open up a door. It's because we won't trust him to do it. Yeah. That's it. That's it. Let me push it a little bit further. You not having a day off says, God's not God, I am. I'm not going to trust him. I'm going to trust me. I'm going to trust me. That's what it's saying. At the core of it. At the core of it, it's saying that I believe that I can sustain myself. And many of us who are working tooth and nail, burning the candle at both ends, how's that going for you? Honestly. Like, how's that working out for you? Because here's what you got to understand. Having a Sabbath day, having a day of rest, I want you to know this, is a gift to enjoy, not a burden to carry. It is a gift from God. You have permission to rest. Resting allows you to connect with God in a greater way. It allows you to be able to connect with those who are around you. It allows you to be able to connect with your family, to invest in relationships. What sense does it make to work 7 days a week and 14 days a week, but you're not present at home? Do you really think God cares about you providing financially, but not being there emotionally for your family and spiritually for your family? Absolutely not. God says, I want you to have a healthy rhythm of work and rest. Work and rest. Work and rest. Work and rest. Not work, 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 then rest. No, 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 no. I want you to have a rhythm. And if you were tired of that noise, that's how your life looks. God says, I care about you so much that I want you to have a healthy rhythm. You need a day of rest. I talked to so many pastors who said, Pastor, I don't need a day of rest. I'm good. And there's some of the main ones that are having extramarital affairs. Some of the same ones who are going to the hospital week in and week out because of health issues, because we're not caring for ourselves. And God says, this is a gift for you. I want you to rest. It's okay to rest. Say it with me. It's okay to rest. You need to know that. Get it in your heart. Get it in your... Some of y'all got like, you got this like Optimus Prime Avenger type spirit in you now where you can go to work tomorrow and you're going to be like, yo, boss. I ain't working 7 days no more. Then they're going to be like, oh, pink slip. Oh, okay, I will. I'm just joking. No, 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 no. I want us to have this firm foundation where we trust and believe that God wants us to have a day of rest. For me, as a pastor, that's Monday. For most of us in here, that's Saturday or Sunday. For many of us, hopefully it is Sunday. Your day of rest should be consistent of like having regular time of worship with God and connecting with others. There should be some public time of worship. This is why your Sunday connection is so important. This is why you can't just like sell off Sundays to make an extra dollar. And I know things come up, and I know, you know, rhythms can kind of get thrown off, but it's one thing for your rhythm to be thrown off for a like short period of time. It's a whole other thing to adopt a whole new rhythm. And some of us have adopted a whole new rhythm where we're saying, you know what, I'm just going to work 7 days a week. That is not God's plan. You need to have some rest in your life. You need to have a day of rest. Here's another thing, how you can apply this regular principle of the Sabbath. You guys are going to love this. I got to move this. I got a few minutes left. It's this one word. You're going to love it. Sleep. Sleep. God actually wants you to get some good sleep. He wants you to. Like, he wants you to get sleep. Let me give some historical context. Studies have shown, and history shows, that up until about 1879, the average American used to sleep 10 to 11 hours a night. Now, it's less than 7. But notice the connection. What happened in 1879? Now, you guys probably don't know that question, the answer to that question. I'm going to answer for you. Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. And studies have shown that since we have not had to depend so much on natural light, and we have now manufactured light that has caused us to work more hours and to extend our days much more at the expense of getting rest. So that little phone that you got in your hand, 2 o'clock in the morning, just staying up, thumbing, right, when you should be sleeping. And then you wonder why you can't wake up on time. I'm not a morning person because you go to bed so late. It's simple. I used to say that all the time. I'm just not a morning person. Well, bro, if you go to bed at 2 in the morning and expect to get up at 8, you're not going to be. Some of us need to just get some more rest. Get some sleep. But Pastor, I got kids. Give them a hard bedtime. Amen. You want to know what we do? We put jokers to bed between 7:30 and 8 during the year. Now, we got grace during the summertime. It's, you know, summertime, y'all can stay up till 8:30. But during the regular time of school, y'all butts is in the bed between 7:30 and 8, and don't you dare come out that room. Because I need my rest. I need my rest. It's funny, but I'm serious. I need my rest so that way I can be the best parent to you. And some of us, man, like, you're so sleep deprived. Here's another thing you got to understand, that there's an actual enzyme that the brain produces that carries away waste. And check this out, that enzyme is only produced when you sleep. Which is why it's no coincidence when you don't get a good night of sleep, your mind feels all jumbled together, which is why you have a short temper. It ain't just spiritual, it's biological. Right? Some of us, I just need to pray more about my temper. No, you just need to get more sleep. Seriously. Then you won't be snapping at people all the time. Legitimately, let me say this, that one of the most spiritual things that you can do is to get a good night's sleep. That's one of the most spiritual things. Some of us are like, that's not spiritual. Yes, it is. You actually see this in the Bible. Do you know somebody who would sleep in the most craziest of situations? Jesus. Our Lord slept in the middle of a storm at the bottom of a boat, and the disciples came to him during a hurricane and was like, dude, do you not see this storm out here? You down here sleeping. You don't care nothing about us. He's like, bro, with drool on the face and everything, bro, what y'all tripping about? Peace be still. I'm going back to sleep. Jesus was modeling something for us. I love that he was modeling something for us. That even though things may be going crazy around you, if you're connected to him, you can have so much peace in your heart that you can still go to sleep in the midst of it. But the reason why some of us have a hard time going to sleep is because we have not yet given over all of our issues and concerns to Jesus. So one of the things that God has freed me from is having to worry about stuff at night. I say, God, you ain't going to sleep. I might as well just give it to you. I'm going to sleep. Holler at you in the morning. There's been so many things that I was worried about the night before that got worked out overnight when I woke up. Just go to sleep. Tell the person beside you, go to sleep. Like, not right now. You need this. But go to sleep. You got to get some sleep. Let me give us like something even more practical. I don't want you just getting 6 hours of sleep. I'm going to dive in a little bit more. I want you to try to get 7 to 8. You need rest. Your body needs it. So the Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's your body. If I'm not getting sleep, then how am I honoring God? I'm offering to God a tired vessel. I'm offering to God a tired body. You are much more effective when you are rested. Get some sleep. You got permission. Get some sleep. You want to know one of the best hours of sleep that you can get? After church. There is nothing like a post-church nap. Come on, somebody. Y'all know what I'm talking about, man. And you know, and I would always laugh at that. And then I felt like one day God was kind of pressing me into it to think about it a little bit more. He was like, do you kind of know why? That those post-church naps are best? I was like, why? Because that's your day of rest. You rest better when you set aside a day for me. Oh, mind blown. Makes so much sense. Yeah. Now, for me personally, it takes a long time for me to go to sleep on a Sunday. By the time like I'm ready to take a nap, kids waking up, I'm like, oh, Lord, here we go. Because there's so much adrenaline running from Sunday. So my day off is Monday. That's when I take it. I shut everything down. You may send me a text message on Monday. I may have grace and send you something back, but more often than not, no. Don't call me. I've had people come to my house on a Monday. I remember one time we had Jehovah's Witnesses that came to my door on a Monday, knocking on the door. I looked outside, close the blinds. Some of y'all are like, Pastor, you should witness to them. No, I'm not. I'm going to honor God because I believe that he's already set up another way. I'm going to rest. You got to honor God. You got to have a day of rest. You got to rest, man. Get some sleep. Here's another thing. You need some daily quiet time with God. Daily quiet time with God, where you're singing worship to God, where you're reading scripture, where you're meditating, where you're seeking God in prayer. You need that for your soul. If you don't have daily quiet time with God, your soul is starving. Here's what Mark 1:35 says. We don't have this on the screen, but it's in your notes in the app. It says this: very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, went out, and made his way to a deserted place. And there he was praying. Jesus was notorious for getting away from the crowd before everybody else would come around him to go connect with the Father. You need daily quiet time with God every day before you pick up your phone. I've tried to get so in particular with my stuff where I'm reading scripture, where I try not, especially in the morning, to read scripture on my phone. Because I don't want my phone to be the first thing that I go to in the morning. Because let's be honest, if I pull up the Bible app, I see a text message right there. Right in the above icon. I see something else. I see this. I see an email. I see this. And so now, for me, I just try my best. I'm just going to go to the Word. Or another devotional book that I have that's in hard copy. Because I don't want to be tempted to drift away from my quiet time with God. I need this time with God. This is me going back to Him to be revived. Here's what Dietrich Bonhoeffer says. He says, silence is the simple stillness of the individual under the word of God. We are silent at the beginning of the day because God should have the first word. And we are silent before going to sleep because the last word also belongs to God. Let me say it like this. You need to start your day with God, continue your day with God, and end your day with God. And I've realized that sometimes we can do well in one area but not do well in the other. So we may not start our day with God, but we'll end our day with God. That's awesome. Or we may start our day but not end it. Or we may start and end, but we don't have anything in between. I want to encourage us to get into a habit and to get into a rhythm where all throughout the course of the day, we're connecting with God. Where we're connecting with God. Because when we take this time to connect with God, that's when we grow in our relationship with God. And that's what 21 days of prayer is all about. It's all about you connecting with God in a much greater way. It's about you starting a new rhythm of rest. That's what I want for us. I want us to be a church full of rested people so that way God can use us to make a difference in our community. I want us to be a church full of rested people so that way we can speak life into people. So that way when we go to work, we can actually make a difference as opposed to gossiping and talking about people and creating poisonous environments where life change doesn't happen. I want us to actually be able to make a difference and be the light of the world that Jesus has called us to be because we are restful people. Because we found our rest in Jesus, but we're also regularly practicing the rhythm of rest in our lives. The greatest thing that some of us can do today is one of two things that you need to do, if not both. Number one is you need to seek Jesus for rest. That means you need to come into a relationship with him today. And maybe for some of us, you're already there. You're like, Pastor, I already got a relationship with God, but do you have a regular day of rest? Do you practice this? And I'm not saying that every day, every week, that day of rest is going to be the same. But every week you need to have a day of rest. For some of us in here, you're like, Pastor, you know, I'm a stay-at-home parent. How do I do that? Maybe that means for you, that's a day where you're not doing any laundry. You're not doing any dishes. You're not doing any household chores and stuff like that. But Pastor, if I don't do that, everything is going to fall apart. Jesus knows that. Leave it alone. Come back to it tomorrow. You have permission. Because what happens is when you get rested, now you are energized to do it in an even greater way than you would have did while tired. Be intentional. Get your rest. Somebody say, get rest. Get rest. That's the rhythm that God wants you to have as we get ready to close. This is the thing I want us to know. I want us to know that Jesus is for you. I want you to know that Jesus wants to give you rest, that in him you find rest for your soul. In him you find rest from all the things that are going on in your life. Stop turning to all this other stuff for rest. Stop turning to culture for rest. Stop turning to addictions for rest. Turn to Jesus for your rest. And when you turn to Jesus for your rest, practice his principle of rest. Take a day, take some time throughout the day to connect with him, to be refreshed by him. To be renewed by him. With every head, body, every eye closed, here's the thing that I want to ask you today is how is your life of rest? How is your rhythm of rest? Are you resting? I want you to be honest. As I said, I don't want this to go in one ear and out the other. I want you to be intentional in this moment of whether or not you're resting properly. Are you resting the way God intends? Because there's so much that depends on it. Your relationship with God is contingent on that, the health of it, that is. Your relationship with your family. Your relationship with your friends, the health of your body, the health of your mentality, it is all connected to this principle. And I believe that when you turn to Jesus for rest and when you begin to regularly practice this principle of rest, that is when you begin to see God do amazing things in your life. You will begin to see him make ends meet in areas that you didn't even think were possible, that you thought you had to compensate for. But what you realize is that God is the provider. And he compensates for the thing that you thought you lost. So where are you right now when it comes to this rhythm of rest? How are you doing in this area? Be honest about it. Because today, Jesus offers a better way, a better rhythm. Not of working, 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 no, but a rhythm of work and rest, work and rest. So if you're here this morning and you're saying, Pastor, that's me. I haven't even come to Jesus yet. I've tried to go to all these other things, and I've tried to believe this, and I've tried to believe that, and you know what? None of it is ever satisfied. But today, I want to come to Jesus because he first came to me. I want to receive his love for me. I want to believe that he died for my sins, that he rose from the grave so that I could have new life, so he could give me rest for my soul. If that's you this morning, and you want that rest for your soul that only Jesus can give, it starts with a relationship with him. So if you're here and you want that, I want you to say these words after me. It's what we call a commitment prayer. It's a prayer of faith of us aligning ourselves with him, receiving what he has to give to us. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. And I believe that you rose from the grave on the third day so that I could have new life and have it more abundantly. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for accepting me. Thank you for giving me rest. In Jesus' name. While your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, here's the second appeal. If you're here this morning and you can say, Pastor, this message, it messed me up on the inside, but today I want to honor God by getting a better rhythm of work and rest. If you could be honest and say, that's me, Pastor, but today I want a new rhythm. Could you just raise your hand just so I can see you? Awesome. Amen. Amen. Father, for every outstretched hand, every single person who says that we want a new rhythm, we want to be on beat with you, we want to be in step with you, I pray, Father, that even now, God, you're reviving our souls. And even now, Lord, as we make a commitment to having a work-rest rhythm in our life that matches yours, I pray, Father, that you would revive us, that you would restore us, that you would bless us to be able to get things like more sleep and to have a better quality of quiet time with you, that even by having a day of rest, whatever that looks like, whatever day that is, that day, God, will be such a restoring day, God, where our families are better, where our health is better, where our mental capacity is better because we've aligned ourselves with you. In Jesus' name, and every person said amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for the God who gives us rest. Amen. Amen. If you're here this morning and you said, Pastor, that first prayer, that was me. I gave my life to Christ and I received him into my life. I want you to know that you've made the greatest decision that you would ever make in your life. By coming to Jesus and receiving what he has to give you, which is life, your life will be forever changed. The Bible says that all of heaven is rejoicing. And because heaven rejoices, we as a church, we rejoice for the new life that you have found in Christ. Come on, church family, make some noise for those who say yes to Jesus this morning. And if you did say yes to Christ,